that everything you see at a wedding represents something. And it's taken from the Bible and taken as a picture and from a picture of Jesus Christ and the church, people who are saved. And a lot of folks don't understand that. They think you just go to a wedding and the bride wears white and they don't supposed to see each other that day and they meet and make vows and go off to live happily ever after and go on a honeymoon first. None of that stuff is by accident. All of that is for a reason. All of that's for a purpose. And I'd like to go over with that just a little bit with you this evening. And it might be good for all these young people in here. You know, when the Lord appeared here in Revelation chapter 1, it said in verse 14, His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and His eyes were as a flame of fire. And that's the bridegroom coming back after the bride. Now, way over there in chapter number 19, if you look at Revelation chapter 19, you're going to see a picture of when Jesus comes back and how that the wife, the bride, prepares herself for her wedding day. Marriage pictured here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. See it? Revelation 19, 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. A girl prepares all her life for her wedding day. All her life she thinks about her wedding day. Now, boys don't do that. Little boys, you say, you don't go to a wedding? No, man, have to get dressed up. Chris and Corey was running around the house this evening. We're going to have a wedding. We're going to have a wedding. And my mom said, wonder why they're so excited about going that way. I said, it's just something built in, little girls. They like weddings. And that's not by accident. God showed them that, showed us that here, because the bride of Christ made herself ready. Every time we pray, if you're saved, every time you pray, every time you read the Bible, every time you try to do right and resist what's wrong, you know what you're doing? You're just combing that hair, putting on that wedding garment, you're getting ready to get married. We as Christians are the bride of Christ. And everybody that's saved we are engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ and going to be His bride one day. And just like Janet's been preparing all these days to meet the bridegroom, me and you's preparing right now to meet Jesus Christ. He's a picture of the bride. Dale tonight represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Janet represents the church. And all the way through, that thing works like that. And the supper, a whole bit. Now, let me give you a few comparisons tonight between a bridegroom and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me remind you of this, and this is for all you other young people here tonight, that your days are coming. Success in marriage, listen to me, success in marriage is more than finding the right person. Success in marriage is more than finding the right person. I'm just half the sentence. You don't hear the other half? Success in marriage is more than finding the right person. It is being the right person. It's not enough for you to just say, I want to find the person of my dreams. You better be the person of their dream. It's not enough for you to just say, well, I'm going to find me a wife that'll love me. You better love her. It's not enough just to say, I want one that'll be good to me. You better be good to her. It's not enough just to say, I want to find a man that'll love me and take care of me. You love him and take care of him. It works both ways. It can never be just one side, or you ain't going to have much of a marriage. And the groom, by the way, is pictured this way. A man intending to marry a woman is not content with things as they are in his father's house. In other words, his mind is on that bride. I can well imagine here in these last few weeks that when Dale's mother had set down a plate of food in front of him, he might not have ate it as fast as he usually does. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that? I'd say he's a little bit restless. He might have been a little bit nervous. His mind was on other things. And did you know something this evening? Did you know what the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven right now, do you know what his mind's on? His mind's on us down here. His mind's on us. And he's never going to rest until he gets us up there with him. When a man sets his mind on a woman, he says, I'm not going to be content until she's here with me. And the Lord's saying that in heaven right now. I'm never going to be content until she is with me. Not only that, number two, when a man's courting, you don't hear that word much anymore. I started to say sparking. Ain't none of people know what sparking is, do they? Back a long time ago, they called it sparking, and then it changed to courting, and now they don't really call it. No, they skip all that nowadays. Ain't much to it. But back in the old days, they called it courting. When a man's courting a girl, he loves, he wants to rescue her from somebody else. In other words, he says, I want to get her and get this ring on her finger and nail this thing down, get it in writing before some other old dog comes along and sweeps her off her feet and marries her. Now, did you know, in a sense, that's what Jesus does? That's what the Lord done. He come down here and got us. We got engaged. We fell in love with Him before the devil could get us and drag us to hell. Ain't that something? How many of you men here tonight, when you were courting your wife, now, I can say then, there's some other old dog after her? Raise your hand. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four. Well, you won out, didn't you? You didn't win, you lost. The other guy won, huh? No, that ain't what I meant. I mean, you beat him out, right? You beat him out. You beat him out, see? Now, that's what the Lord's doing. The Lord's courting us, and He's trying to beat out the devil. And the devil's trying to take everybody he can to hell, and the Lord's saying, no, I want you to be bride. See? So see what a type? Number three, when a man's got his affection and his desire upon a woman, he respects her to be what he has. He respects her for what she is, not what she can give him, not her house, her money, her car, stuff like that. You know, it's her. It's her he wants, not her portion. It's her he wants, not her money. It's her he wants, not. And when the Lord come down here, he wasn't interested in what we could give him. He was interested in us. The Lord's interested in us. People say, well, I'm not much. Will the Lord have me? Yes, sir, He sure will. People say, well, I sure have messed up a lot. Will the Lord have anything to do with me? You're just the kind He's looking for. He wants you just like you are. The Lord wants you to get right with Him, and the Lord wants you to come to Him just like you are. You say, well, I'm not this, and I'm not too right, and I'm a sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing. You're good material to be His bride. That's the kind he says. That's the kind he wants. Number four, the groom expresses great love, more than he can tell sometimes, for his fiancée. Bible said love is strong as death. And the Bible says many waters cannot quench love. Boy, when a man's got that passionate love for a woman, they ain't nothing or nobody can quench it. It can't. It's like those floodwaters out in California. It's picking up houses, knocking them into bridges and tying trees and washing cars away. That's how powerful love is. You know, people will do stuff for love they won't do for nothing else in the world. People will do stuff for love they won't do if you got a gun held on them. I heard about this lady. She's about 70 years old, and she had smoked a long time. The doctor told her not to smoke or it was going to kill her. And he threatened her, said, you're going to die. Her insurance was up, sky high, and everything. And she was a widow, and some guy come along, and him and her fell in love. And, boy, she flipped over him, and he said, quit smoking, and I'll marry you. And she quit, just like that. I mean, the threat of death, man, couldn't even make her quit. But what the threat of death and a law and a gun can't do, love can do. You know, love can conquer anything. You know, if two people love each other, they can stand against anything. Really, they can't. We got marriages here in our church that have weathered the storm. And the reason they've weathered the storm is because they love each other. And they love God, and it's God's love manifested through them. Well, number five, you know what else he does? When a man's in a position to be a bridegroom, he sends tokens to her, like Isaac did Rebekah, when he sent her the earring and the bracelet. You know what he's doing? Giving her a little taste, you know, whatever you want to call it. Isaac sent, he said, put this bracelet on her arm and give her this ring. Boy, that servant went down there and said, you want to go marry Isaac? She said, I don't know if I want to or not. He said, look at here. You like that? Wow!
I ain't never seen that light. I said it looks like something I seen in the Sears catalog, Brindles or somewhere. He said, well, this thing's real, sis. Put it on. And he says, Isaac wants to give you a whole lot more than that. I'll go. She got up a little bit. Pretty soon that old ring got to looking ugly. Pulled out this bracelet. Pulled out these earrings. See? He gave her all that stuff before she ever even met Isaac. And that's where the Lord does us. You know all the good things the Lord gives us now, people? That ain't nothing to what we're going to get when we get to heaven. You just wait, man. You just wait. You just wait. You talking about these lifestyles of the rich and famous? Are you kidding? Them dumps they live in out there in Hollywood? I mean, that thing could... That's going to make... Listen, where we're going to live is going to make Biltmore House and Garden look like an outside toilet one of these days. That's right. That's right. Buddy, the Lord's got something for us. And all these blessings and all these wonderful things that we're getting now are just little earrings and little... You have the big shouting service and the Lord blessing you everything. That's just a little trinket, brother, to what you're going to get when you get to glory. That's right. Not only that. Six. When a man is pursuing... Whatever you want to call it, he will not share her with a rival. He will not share. She says, well, I'm going to be engaged to you and Joe, too. He says, no, he ain't either. You're either all mine or you ain't mine. That's where the Lord speaks to us tonight. We either all belong to him or you don't belong to him. I mean, you can't say, Lord, I'm going to live for you on Sundays and live for the devil the other 4 days a week, 5 days a week, 6 days a week. You can't do it. The Lord wants all of us. I preached on that Sunday morning about the sweetheart. Number seven, you realize that some men have fought great battles and met with great opposition from their enemies to win the bride that they've chosen. Men, history books are full of men who fought battles with enemies and sword battles, you know, and all them old movies they used to make 20 years, 30, 40 years ago, where he'd come in and fight with a sword and kill the villain to rescue the young lady and all that. You know why people like stuff like that? Because that's a picture of Jesus Christ fighting the devil, overcoming the world, letting them put nails in his hand, dying on a cross to win mine and your affection and our love. Number eight, when she consents, he is then ready to enter into a marriage contract. What does that mean? That means this. That woman has the right to refuse. Right? He don't just go up here and, well, it might have been back in the caveman days, but they don't. Now, you're going to be my wife, see? She could either say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Now, tonight, if you're not saved, the Lord's knocking at your heart's door. And he's saying, I'm the groom, you can be the bride, I'm going to take you to heaven and live happily ever after. But you're going to say yes to him or you're going to say no to him. Everybody on the TV, everybody on the news, everybody on the basketball floor, everybody on the baseball field is going to say yes or no to the Lord's proposal. And then the marriage day, number nine, is a very happy day, no doubt about it. Happiest day in a person's life, supposed to be, besides getting saved, is the day of their wedding. No doubt that'll be the happiest day we've ever had, the day we see the Lord and we walk down that aisle and meet him. Can you imagine that? I mean, everybody always says the same thing. I'm nervous, Brother Danny. I'm nervous. Walk down that aisle in front of all those people. Oh, my, I'm wringing my hand. I'll guarantee you Janet's nervous back there. I'll guarantee you she is. I don't know if she can hear me right now, but I guarantee you she's nervous. Just then. Now, this is just a little picture. You imagine all those Old Testament saints, all those tribulation saints, all those hundreds of thousands of souls from days gone by in a big arena, and then here we come marching down the aisle to meet Jesus Christ one day. Boy, you talk about something. Man, that big old heavenly organ starts. Dun, 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 dun. And here we'll come marching down that aisle. You know what you do after you get married? You go on a honeymoon. I don't know where that word honeymoon comes from. It's a good word, I reckon. Everybody knows what that means. You go off somewhere, go somewhere and spend a few days. You don't go straight to the house. You go to the honeymoon. You know what the Lord's going to do as soon as he marries his bride? He's taking her on a 1,000-year honeymoon. Now, you talked about the lifestyles of rich and famous. Baloney, brother. They said, you know, Liz Taylor, I just made this up today. I read a little thing and I made the rest of it up. I think Liz Taylor's eighth husband's named Henry. You know, Henry the eighth, I am, I am. But anyway, did you know something? Old Liz Taylor, she's rich. And old whoever them, Richard Burton and all them supposedly rich movie stars, I think, and they're going on a lavish honeymoon on or a cruise or somewhere and going to spend so many days in Acapulco or somewhere like that. Huh, are you kidding? We're going on 1,000 years. That's the honeymoon of all honeymoons. And rule and reign with our brand new husband, Jesus Christ. What about that? Then you know what they do after they come back from honeymoon? Move into their home, their new home. In this case, it's Clinchfield. In our case, it'll be a mansion in glory. That's right, brother. That's right. She's adorned in white. That's a picture of the righteousness of the saints. And so everything you see here tonight represents something up there. Okay? We're ready. Get the lights.
We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. With this in mind, we'll live above the world and all its sorrows. I have prayed for all my life that we would be together, serving Him together is what's right. I know it's true. He has chosen me for you. So take my hand and you will see that He has chosen you for me. Now and then I like to think about the day that Jesus saved me. All the love that He bestowed and all the gifts He gave me. And with all this I'll praise His name for putting us together. He knew we'd be together from the start. I know it's true. He has chosen me for you. So take my hand and you will see that He has chosen you. He has chosen me for you.
This symbolizes the two shall be as one.
Call of your heart, rest assured.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Lord, it's a special day, especially for Dale and Janet. Lord, we thank You so much for bringing young people together. We're so thankful in our hearts that they're willing to pledge themselves to each other and to You. Lord, we're thankful in our hearts that they've waited and willing to go Your way and to go by Your plan for their lives. And Lord, we've already studied this evening how they're a picture of You and Your church. I pray, dear Lord, that they'd always be that way, that You'd bless their marriage, You'd bless them with love more than they could ever imagine. And I pray that storms of life blow against them, that they'll stay together and stay as one, and that You'd bless them to be a witness and a testimony. Use them to be soul winners. We thank You for their life. Thank You for their dedication. We want to thank You for these two families, for Tater and Erlene and their family. We thank You for Mr. and Ms. Burleson and their family, for bringing these two families together. And I pray that You'd bond them together in such love and unity that they'd have the happiest days they could ever dream of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some time ago when Dale and Janet told me that they'd planned on getting married and asked me about doing the ceremony this evening, I began to think, and of course I've always watched Janet's life since she's just probably 7 or 8 years old when she first started coming here to church. And I saw her stay faithful and stay in church. And I can't help but think about this group of girls. And a few years back, 6 or 7 years ago, I'd go in their Sunday school class and I'd tell them, I'd say, "Girls, wait on the Lord. He'll send you the right man." And I'd say it over and over and over, and I'd preach to them, "Wait on the Lord. He'll send you the right man." And I used to kid with them and say, "Every one of you, pray that God will give you a preacher husband." And you know something? It's strange, but a lot of that crowd has wound up marrying preachers. And we have a man of God as my husband, and I can help him. And when he's preaching and you're at home doing the housework or watching kids or whatever, you will share in every reward Dale ever gets in his ministry. I believe that. I believe a good, godly, dedicated preacher's wife is going to have rewards to share with her husband when they get to heaven. And it's not just her stuck at home and him preaching. It's her laboring together to do the will of God. And I praise the Lord for him. I praise the Lord for Brother Dale. Brother Dale's been in our church a few years now, and he's been a tremendous blessing. He's dedicated. He loves me. He supports our church. And that speaks highly of him. And I tell you something, they're starting off right, and I want us all to pray that they'll just put the Lord first in their married life. If you have both considered this relationship upon which you're about to enter, please join your right hand. Dale, do you take this woman, whose right hand you now hold, to be your lawfully wedded wife? And do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will be to her a true, devoted husband, true to her in sickness and in health, in joy and sorrow, in pain and adversity, when things are going good, when things are not going good, that you'll love her, provide for her, until God shall separate you by death? Janet, do you take this man, whose right hand you now hold, to be your lawfully wedded husband? And do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will be to him a true, loving, obedient, dedicated wife, that you'll be true to him in sickness and in health, in joy and sorrow, in pain and in adversity, and that forsaking all others, you'll keep yourself to him and him only till God shall separate you by death? The ring also represents something. The circle. It never has an end. And that's a symbol of your love that never dies. It's also made of gold. And that symbolizes deity and the seal of an untarnished eternity. Dale, will you take this ring, the emblem of love, and place it on Janet's finger? Repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed.
I thee wed.
With all my heart's affection.
With all my heart's affection.
I thee endow.
I thee endow.
In the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Will you, Janet, take this ring the emblem of your love and place it on Dale's finger. Repeat after me. With this ring, I be wed. With all my heart's affection, I thee endow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you bless Brother Dale and Miss Janet, Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for all the young children's lives they've influenced, dear Lord, through the bus ministry, through the hard, dedicated work, Lord. God, I pray they continue to work for you and labor for you, God. I pray, God, that you give them the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding they need, Lord, God, in the future. And God, in this home, dear Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help them, Lord, when they have the rough times. Help them, dear Lord, when they have the good times, dear Lord God, to trust you and to obey you, to love you and love your word, God. Pray you'd help them to ever be faithful, dear Lord God. Pray, God, you'd supply their needs, God. And God, you know, dear Lord, when they get discouraged, Lord, just what they need. And I ask you, dear Lord, to give it to them. And dear Lord, give them strength. And I pray they'd have a loving, lasting marriage for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Therefore, by the virtue of authority invested in me as a minister of the gospel of Christ, in accordance with the laws of God and state of North Carolina, I now pronounce you husband and wife, one in name, one in aim, and one we trust in a happy destiny. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. You kiss the bride. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Dale Burleson.